The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! Right on the Tigers! Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down the marks!
Oh, gee whiz. He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we started this show with some, 9 years ago now, with some core values. Hating Carlton, loving statistics,
Brooks.
Winning is better than losing.
Talking a lot about shots on goal.
Actually, that one's evolved with time.
Thanks to the invention of the expected scores metric has really tightened that conversation up.
Yeah. We used to talk a lot about substitutes. We've always...
Oh, I love the sub.
We've talked a lot about hit-outs. But the shows... we've always done the shows quicker after wins rather than losses. But I have to admit, I'm so overwhelmed by all things football in 2020. It took me a while to get around to finishing this game.
Yeah, to be honest, I only actually wound up getting to the replay because we're recording this podcast. I finally forced myself. And actually, when I watched it the second time, it wasn't as bad as it felt the first time around. But my similar take on that, Nick,
no.
I had a similar experience is... So for the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks, I've been having Zoom drinks with a couple of other lockdown Richmond supporters and over the game. And for the West Coast game, we liked it so much that we replayed the replay to start on our various apps and rewatched the game while having more beers. And I woke up the next day slightly hungover.
Good times.
Let me just reassure you, Nick, that I woke up after the Fremantle game stone cold sober. In fact, I was working out by 6:30 in the morning because, there was no celebratory post drinks after the Fremantle game.
No, they're a very respectable team, and you know, while I watched more than I enjoyed of the Fremantle Melbourne game last night, it did show that, you know, they are extremely honest. And if you are not genuine in your attack at the ball and the man, as I think we were for parts of the third quarter and maybe bits of the second as well, you can't beat them easily. And, you know, we ended up with a respectable win. I enjoyed giving them a bit of old-fashioned at three-quarter time. But, yeah. I think we struggled to get excited.
Yeah, look, that's one. I didn't think it was a desire issue, but maybe that's just me overanalyzing. Look, so again, sort of the glass. If you're a Fremantle's perspective supporter, the glass half full perspective is that they're sort of their clearance differential is +19, and yes, we are one of the bottom three clearance teams in the league, but and we are an intercept team. We don't rely on clearances, but we still you tend to win 70 to 80% of the time when you win clearances by that much. So they are a meaningful scoring metric in an average AFL game. They are less meaningful in Richmond games, but they still matter.
I was gonna say I don't think that holds up as well in Richmond games, but
no, it's good. Yeah. Clearly, we are on the extreme end, but still. Surrendering that many clearances, you know, if you watch the game, some of the they get clearances which maximise their chance of winning them, which means they're not always the best quality, whereas Richmond does. Mm. When Richmond tries to win, they try to win well, and if they don't win, they try to, you know, one of the big things we really like is a crappy kick out of the clearance, which we then intercept and rebound. But even then, you know, they, as you said before the game, they have a lot of big bodies. They're good. They are a good, solid clearance team. And, you know, maybe it's a will issue, or maybe they're just good at it and they're better than we are.
Nate Fife's very good. And, yeah, it was interesting. For the coaches' votes, they went to 8 different players. Each got various votes from the coaches, and Nate Fife got 5 from both of them. And I think that's fair. He was clearly the best player on the ground, and, you know, he was one of the best players in the league. But
there are definitely universes where we lose that game. You know, they take some of their shots.
Not many, though.
No, I mean, the funny thing is, how does that team defend a lead when they already play like they're, you know, they basically start the game playing like they're defending a 3-goal lead with 5 minutes to play? You know, the way they kick the ball, and they seem to be deliberately setting up 55-metre shots from the boundary, the way they kick the ball into the forward line. It's quite extraordinary sometimes to watch. It does make you appreciate the modern Richmond game plan sometimes, watching other teams. But, yeah, look... You know, they take some of their shot. You know, Tabernard kicks a couple of his shots in the first. You know, they potentially go into at halftime, you know, tied. It's such a tight game that, you know, you get a bit of goal kicking variance go against you. It can really hurt, because, you know, they did the smart thing for a team that thought it was less talented, is that, they tried to reduce scoring, and, you know, the lower the scoring is, the more a couple of high variance plays, rather than using wanky statistical language, they're trying to keep it close, and, you know,
keep it close. Take your chances. You know, yeah. Look, they did that versus Collingwood.
Yeah,
and it worked.
As you pointed out, that was their path to success, and just grind us down at the contest.
Mm.
But we were better than
I had. Yeah, we were a better team. Rhys Conker was one of the players who got coaches' votes, but in the first quarter, when he turned the ball over on defensive 50, my eyes rolled back and I had a horrible... Just the waves of flashback almost overwhelmed me.
Well, that may be the best game I've ever seen Rhys Conker play.
We've spent hours talking the good and the bad of Rhys Conker. He had games, including, I think, one versus Geelong, where he pulled Brownlow votes back when he was a promising midfielder.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a question: is beating Dusty in an off-Broadway game as big as, like, you know? I'm sorry, but if that game was a final, Dusty's not having 11 possessions. And, you know, Rhys Conker could have played just as well. You know, there's a off Broadway and on Broadway element to that performance. But by the way, just before we get off Conker, did you see in Melbourne game that he kicked the ball ridiculously stupidly out of the air in the first half? And it was exactly what used to send the Richmond coaches mad. That you might recall, it was a great anecdote in Conrad Marshall's book about Rhys Conker having to buy, I think it was Truck Rutten breakfast, because he made a bet that he had to, every time he kicked the ball out of the air, that he had to buy Rutten breakfast. He had to do it 3 times, and he still hasn't got it out of his game. Anyway, Conker, you know, we can laugh now.
Yeah. No, and thinking about, you know, that, you know, we've had to replace Conker with, you know, some mixture of Liam Baker and Oleg Markov. You know, Brandon Ellis got a massive deal, and we replaced him with Marlon Pickett. you know, there's a natural sort of player development life cycle as those mid-tier players, you know, get better contract offers from other people. But I did wonder about Nathan Broad in that context of, you know, he was back in the team again, but maybe didn't have all that much impact. There's rumours of Gold Coast being interested. Like, who keeps their spot, assuming Grimes comes back? Who keeps their spot out of him and Oleg?
Well, the thing is, so Oleg played on Walters for at least part of the game, as much as anyone can be said to be playing on someone. And, you know, Walters, aside from one brilliant goal, had a relative, you know, was relatively quiet. Now, Walters isn't in all Australian form, but it was still, it was a decent marking job. So, yeah, there's definitely, I mean, Oleg was definitely far more effective with the ball and had a considerable amount of metres gained. You know, he went at 90%. He's just clearly better offensively.
Sixth in the AFL in bounces per game.
Yeah, nice stat. On the other end of the spectrum, Nick, and, you know, speaking of people who might be about to get paid, Jack Graham was our highest rated player, according to a lot of the rankings, and had 10 contested possessions, and still, despite the fact, is sort of now one of our leading offensive ball getters, and was our leading contested ball winner, still led the team in pressure points in, you know, for him, a more modest 45, but, you know, by sort of, 45's a normal game leader stat, and, you know, he often gets in the 60s, just for people who don't always read the stat. And, yeah, so he's starting to get a bit of balance to his game, and, you know, he's not, you know, the sort of, you see the limitations of that game when he kicked the ball 3 metres out of bounds off his left at one stage, was, and, you know, you can see sometimes when he starts a U-turn and, you know, he, you can adjust you watch as he palatially, finishes U-turn some of his limitations, but he's producing for us. He's incredibly important depth.
He is. And when we're sort of threading that through the middle and Bolton to Rioli, you know, dashing through with skill and pace, and then it goes through to Graham, and it's just a little clunkier, but I think he's in career best form. He's timed his run nicely for the next contract.
I could not agree more. It's definitely the most effective football I've, his dream 2017 run, which was incredibly short, let's not forget. You know, it was just for a few games, a few finals, basically. Aside, like, this is, to me, by far the best footy he's played. And, like, really exciting. And I'd resigned myself that he was a specialist pressure player. But, he's really showing the things that made him the... What was it? You're not the McGarry Medal winner? What's the award he won? Best player in the under 18 juniors, which is normally, two out of three guys who win that award are one up in all Australians. It's normally won by guns.
Well, speaking of, players on the fringe of the senior team, I don't think K-Mac's on the fringe of the senior team at the moment. I think he's playing really well.
Actually, Nicky led the team in metres gained this week, which is unusual for him. Rarely leads the team on any stats. He's killing it. And how crucial was that goal just before half time that, you know, sort of really broke a... Like, the second quarter was not a good quarter for us. We lost the inside 50s, 7-10. It was tight. It was back and forth. And, yeah, his goal... from a Lynch tap, and I'm glad this is sort of, and I apologise, I might have missed one, but at least 5 of the 8 Richmond scores came from either Lynch goals or Lynch doing a better than average job in a contest to bring it to ground in the right position. And if you look, he tapped it to McIntosh when McIntosh scored that goal. By the way, 5 of 8 for those at home is about 62-63%. So he is, you know, I know no one feels sorry for the guy earning over $1 million a year, but Tom Lynch is worth that bloody contract. He is so important. No, he gets plenty of supply, but he is so important to us structurally.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If we're still relying on Jack as our one key forward, like, yeah, when we are not the Premier. I think I really like Thompson Dow's a long-term project. He's not going to stay in the team, but yeah, I still like lots about him in terms of he doesn't seem afraid. He's got a really nice sidestep, but it's been a fun cameo.
Yeah, he's got long-term AFL skills. He can play inside. We don't have many of those players anyway. Couldn't agree more with everything you said. Like I thought it was a very, sorry to be repetitive about the point, but we've got the best Dow. I'm very excited about the long term.
I can tell you, look, one thing I'm grateful for of, you know, that we've, we don't seem to, for whatever reason, attract quite the same wild trade speculation, maybe because, you know, we're good. But, you know, the way the media panders to big Melbourne clubs with stupid trade rumours, for me, peaked at the suggestion of that Carlton could trade Paddy Dow for Tom Papley from the Swans, rather than giving up a top 10 draft pick. That was quite something.
And you know, we're all guilty of this because we click on these bloody stupid articles, but you know, the journalists themselves occasionally, when they've been honest, lamented is that those bloody trade stories are by far the one that gets the most click. So another reason why the internet and Twitter is destroying public discourse is it encourages in all the sports you follow, it's why there is so much more. And, you know, in our case, there's a lot of American sport there too. There's so much more trade, transfer, free agent speculation, whatever you want to call it. It's because people bloody click on it rather than interesting pieces on statistics and tactics and ruck work, you know, important stuff. So less Herald Sun. Oh, sorry. Well, not Herald Sun. They all do it. Less clickbait and, you know, more reading thoughtful Comrade Marshall and Sarah Black and other good quality journalists.
Well, speaking of ruck stats, wasn't a great night for Nakato.
No, it wasn't. When you get done the clearances and, like, they were getting bullied a bit occasionally, both of them did. That was
really, sort of, I really like Sean Darcy.
Yeah, he's strong. I actually, so Nick, I wasn't involved in an unfortunate incident, last week, following our podcast. I was just having dinner innocently in my lounge room when a brick came flying through the window, and I heard squealing tires, and written on it was "Leave Nank alone, you bastards." And yes, we've received complaints from certain agitated people who are from Tasmania, perhaps lately from New Zealand, about our treatment of Nank. So you know, and they're registered. But, like, actually, I watched the tape again. I tried to work out why Nank didn't get a possession after quarter time, and I actually couldn't. Like, both of them, I don't think you can point out. I thought both of them weren't working fantastically. We won the hitouts, lost the hitouts to advantage, not by a lot, but a little bit, and Soldo was marginally better of the two in the hitouts to advantage, but like it wasn't that much to separate them. But the sort of the Nank getting the one possession all game. I watched the tape again. And I tried to work out why it happened, and he was a bit less time on ground, 63%, but it wasn't. I just couldn't explain it.
Mm. He is coming back from a lung injury, which, yeah, we probably haven't talked about enough. But, yeah. Yeah, he needs to play better. It's a really interesting matchup with Geelong that I want to talk about later. But, yeah, the team's got a lot of moving parts still.
Yeah, and, yeah, that remains interesting work in progress. I do like how the absolute consensus of what the best two Richmond ruck are seems to last a week before it gets changed to someone else. It is like many things at the moment in life. It is very much a known unknown. You're awesome, Presti.
I wish I did more things as well as Noah Bolter kicks off his left foot.
I mean, like the guy's just a freak. I mean, you know, I wish I did arm curls like Noah Bolter did. You know, I'm sure. Like, there's just so many things about it. It's another 7 intercept marks, which again was probably is probably half a season's work for me when I played. But yeah, he was just in. In fourth ranked player on champion data, really nice marking. Dumb free kick gave away to Tebena. Like, he still does, and almost somewhat reassuring when he does those dumb things. You remember, this is the guy at preseason where we didn't know where he was at the start of the year. I'm sorry, I don't, if you sort of know big mainstream credible, and I apologize if I missed someone, was saying, well, look out for Noah Bolter. And the coaches weren't saying it because, you know, they weren't listing him when they were saying, who's the guy killing it in preseason?
And actually, look, the full preseason story was, might have come back in awesome shape. But B, the coaches, to their credit, did stick him at centre-half back for the whole of the preseason. And that seems to have been an investment of time well spent.
Yeah, they do. I reckon they did it for the second half of last year as well, pretty much. Like, they give him 2 minutes in the ruck, but they've been pretty dedicated. Yeah, they've been pretty dedicated to the moving into the back line. I criticised it last year. I thought he'd be awesome as a second ruck. But, like, in a return for investment, like, what do we need? As soon as Asprey went down, we needed that much more than we needed a good second ruck because, well, we've got a logjam there right now. And you know what? He still might be the best second ruck on our list, but you don't get a 21-year-old who's that good an athlete.
Yeah, don't mess with that. No.
22-year-old, sorry.
Him, Baker, and Bolton all in the 40-man squad for the under-22 team as well. Nice work.
Yeah, and all of them should be locks. I think I don't know the Baker competition, but the other two, like, if you look at the best players under 25, like, they are so of their under 24, they are so far of their type, the best players in the AFL. Like, I mean, just find in the list of, if you look at best ranked players in the AFL, the only keys are Harris Andrew and Bolton. Bolter, sorry. Like, that's a pretty short list. But there's a lot of players in the AFL under 25. We shouldn't forget how rare it is to be playing that well so that young. So you can forgive the old stupid holding penalty. And, you know, like I said, it makes him almost Bill Hume.
Although seemingly he can have his jumper torn off and not receive a free kick.
That's such a reputation thing. The more he gets known.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he trash talks the umpires, even though he probably barely knows the rules.
Look, the one last player I wanted to mention was Jake Arts. In a game
where McIntosh, he got called as Camden McIntosh during the game.
I know. And he ran about 35 metres on that goal.
I was going to ask you, actually, using your umpire's brain, Nick.
You just have an internal clock, and it goes,
And because normally they call that one, it's often where they do call it when they're running into goal, but yeah, oh, well, there you go. We got one.
Yeah. Yeah, we got one. He played well. And look, I thought Jack Higgins, look, I love every time he kicks a goal, and feels like a gift given what he's been through. Yeah, I don't think he's keeping his spot.
I was a bit worried. Look, he wasn't awful, and you know, he, if you look at his stats, that it doesn't stand out. I actually was asking people when I was watching it, do you think something's wrong with him? Because I thought his touch was off. But yeah, look, if you look at empirically, if you didn't watch the tape, you'd see nothing wrong with his game. You'd see it's just, you know, it's sometimes a small forward, it bounces your way, sometimes it doesn't. It is, as we always say, a high variance position.
Yeah, and he worked his way into the game. He had a lovely front and centre where he was just perfectly located. And Rioli was worked his way into it as well. But there were moments where our key forwards would fly to the ball, and we had small forwards at each of the points of the compass waiting to crumb, and that made me happy.
Yeah, oh no, no. Look, the crumbing off Tom Lynch game plan, like we do this, we have really brought the 1980s back, the 1970s back, really. Tommy Hafey would be looking down from heaven, nodding in approval at the way we set up around Tom Lynch. The only other player I wanted to mention was Marlon Pickett, who's 19 possessions and 350 metres gained and 9 contested possessions. Like he's really doing some yeoman's work as our
Four intercepts as well. It was a well-rounded game.
Yeah, in a game where our slightly smaller midfield was getting beat up by their big boys, you know, it's nice to have one of our own.
Going along nicely. Look, I thought we should mention briefly the incident with Callum Coleman-Jones and Sydney Stack, although part of me thinks about, given the thousands of words that have already been said, what we can possibly add. But I don't know. How did you?
I think we're both flat because they're Richmond Tiger Talk favourites. Sydney Stack's every Richmond supporter's favourite.
Yeah, definitely.
But you know, Callum Coleman Jones is. You know, someone
we have burned a candle long and hard for Callum Coleman-Jones.
Yeah, it's fair to say I think I own a reasonable amount of a waterside property on CCJ Island. I don't think that's an unfair statement. I don't know. Look, and you can look. It's a moral issue, and that you can make your own judgment. I don't think we have any special insight or value add. But the only point I would make, Nick, was something the Notre Dame National Championship winning American football coach said once. And he was Notre Dame is a huge team in America that probably most people haven't heard of here, but they are an enormous cultural institution, and because they're one of the few definitive team that's defined as being Catholic, they're always judged very harshly on any indiscretion because, you know, because they're a Catholic university, they're seen as being held to higher standards. He made the point that sort of nothing's as ever as good as it's bad as it seems in first glance. And I think, like, there's a point that, you know, I used to gently sort of mock how Richmond invented mindfulness. Well, you know, we didn't invent, you know, mindfulness in corporate culture has been around since the 1970s. But because it was a good story, it got written up, and then the Richmond culture became this incredible thing. Richmond do have a good culture. We've been incredibly successful. We've brought teams in from diverse backgrounds. We've been accepting. It's been a success story. We've had no, like, if you actually have perspective about the broader picture of bad things that happen in life, you know, having a 20 and 21 year old go out too long on the beers is not the worst thing. Just have some perspective on the spectrum of bad things that can happen. Look, just because a few bad things happen doesn't mean we have a bad culture. All those things that used to be good are still good, but it's just, we're broad, complex organizations and stuff happens.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. Sorry, that's probably too
much. No. But also the point that even when you do lots of things right, you still get held to account when you stuff up. And I think that's been an uncomfortable part of all of this. And yeah, we have done a lot of, you know, as people have said, we're recognised as a leader for our work with Indigenous players and through the KGI Institute. But yeah, still we've stuffed up and probably been held more to account more because of we're a high profile club. But yeah,
Anyway, these things happen. But I would encourage people to look at some emotional time, because a lot of people are locked down. It's frustrating. And the journalists are in the same position, and they need to write stories. They need jobs. So look, just
well, but and the broader risk to the game of repeated COVID breaches.
Yeah, that's very real. And
COVID
and
protocol breaches. Yeah, that's very real.
And can you look? I'm saying this because I have no role in telling the players what to do. Like, if I was a player, you know, if I'd been one of the club officials, I'm sure they've been briefed 50 times about what the rules are, like the rest of us have. And, you know, the AFL is good at that compliance stuff. And I'm sure I would have been furious, obviously, with those guys had that been my job to tell them the rules. But look, you know, people do make mistakes. They've been punished heavily and fairly. And, but my personal take is I don't read the stories about the moral judgment stories. Look at the facts, make your own judgment, and continue to enjoy football, because this is a once in a generation magnificent team with some magnificent personal stories on it, and none of that has changed for me. Sorry, I said I wouldn't make any moral judgments, and I still but I have.
Well, look, the other thing is, you know, that I really hope that this is becomes a learning experience and a bump on the road to successful careers for both of them.
Good point.
Geelong.
What you said. They are good. They are really good.
They're really good. So Geelong are first in the AFL in kicks, clearances, marks inside 50, points per game. Second in the AFL centre square clearances, second for least points conceded. Really mature team. Tom Hawkins leading the Coleman in possibly career best form. You know, deep mature midfield. You know, deep mature team, full stop. They bought some small forwards in the team that have given them a bit more bite. Yeah. Still hate Chris Scott for being perhaps the least gracious man in the world.
Unfortunately, does appear to be good at coaching.
He's certainly good at coaching. And his team often plays quite attractive football, which the whole thing's very annoying.
Yeah, the way they've sort of gone with the Tom Hawkins and the Land of the Midgets forward line, which is, you know, sort of completely different to some of their other forward lines in the past. It's a capacity for invention. I mean, admittedly, they've got no major injuries, but they've been really good this year. They're very hard to beat. And now, Nick, I've sort of been talking about this with a few friends this week. Just in hindsight, and I know the teams have moved on slightly, but a lot of the key players are all still the same ones. Like, Dangerfield's still a top 10 player in the AFL. Duncan, all of them. Yes, I know Duncan was injured. But, like, the 17 and 19 Geelong finals, they were the two toughest finals we played. Both times, with hindsight, because we won, we sort of forget. But when the game was hot in those games, they were the toughest, they were the hardest. Both those games were absolute wars.
That's true, although 2017 GWS final, actually, I feel like that was the one that was most in the balance, like I thought.
I thought
the Cats were a bit lucky at times.
I actually You don't remember that famous meme of that Tigers, the person with the painted cat face losing his mind when Geelong missed another shot in the second quarter of the 2017? And like the 2019 game, I mean, that game, both of them were, but the 2019 game, and they had injuries, we had injuries, we obviously had injuries during the game. That game was a war. Like, that was football. That was a brilliant game. And you know, they're obviously, the game is very meaningful for both of us. It's a top four, spot. I expect this to be on, and Tomahawk's back, and the Nick, like, you pay tickets, like, if it was a heavyweight, light heavyweight, but battle between Noah Bolter and Tom Hawkins. How good is this? Like, it's the young buck against the old dog. Like, it's fantastic human drama.
I know. I'm slightly worried. You know, Charlie Dick. You know, Tabana won a few contests against him. Dixon caused him trouble. Like, this is. I'm extremely glad that it seems like Dylan Grimes might be out of play, because I do think we've got a team defence it up a bit for this one, because yeah, we need a much more four quarter effort against the midfield. It is going to be a fascinating clash of styles. Having just said some begrudgingly nice things about Chris Scott, perhaps they're a completely different style of football, and you know, they're 18th in the AFL in both turnovers and intercepts. Like, they just their whole game plan is predicated on winning the ball rather than having to win it back and moving it with skill when they do have it. But also, the real emphasis on athleticism at the ruck position, and they don't seem to think that hit-outs are very important.
Which, shame.
You know, it's clearly an offence to things that we hold dear.
Yeah, like, and again, the rucks are going to be, I know I say this every week, but like, how fascinating is the ruck battle going to be? Because you've got this clash of styles, and you've also got a Richmond ruck division who, yeah, up and down. I don't even know whether there isn't a small chance that one of them won't get dropped for Chol. You know, if you're playing against athletic round-the-ground racks, like, he's actually, like, do you go strength on strength or do you go strength on weakness? You know, there's some interesting questions, and it wouldn't be...
Yeah, do you just try and use our guys to bludgeon them for four quarters. It's a fascinating matchup.
Which, by the way, would be my preferred outcome. And I think we really need a shock.
that did remind me. Damien Fleming tells a very nice story of, you know, the pre-team planning of each series where they get together. And talk about, so how are we going to bowl to this guy? And eventually they decide that they're going to bowl around off stump and try and move the ball away from him. that feels like your careful consideration of all the available options. And then we're going to bludgeon them.
With two traditional rucks.
Two big-bodied, brutal ruckmen.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it is a tribute to Soldo that I could love him more than Nank, because I really do love Nank. But yeah, you can. Both of them, to be fair, both of them played last week like they needed a rest, even though, you know, I know Nank hasn't actually needed, technically doesn't need one. And I think, you know, they've got some big bodies in the midfield, and this is a big game. Like, Cochran was so important in the third quarter of the... Well, actually, no, it was really important in both Geelong finals. Sorry to talk about the finals. I know the one was now three and a half years ago, but...
I don't think any Richmond supporter needs an excuse to talk more about those finals.
But, you know, it'll be like that game because it's such a meaningful game. It's like, it's the most meaningful game we played against them in the regular season. You know, almost all our other regular season games have had massive asterisks next to them. Either we were in Geelong or we had half our team out. So, you know, Cochin is incredibly important against their big body mids. And yeah, he's actually, his game time is just creeping up. He was at 74%, against Frio, but yeah, he'll be vital. Whether Markov keeps his spot and, can stand up in what is certainly a big boy game. Yeah, a lot of fascinating stories. There's no way George is getting dropped. He had 15 in last game. So I reckon we'll go on with the same. And, you know, Stacky's not there anymore, obviously. So I reckon we go in with the same forward line. Caddy's the one you might think about. But I don't know who, Caddy could come in for Dow.
No, I think he's had a, might have had an injury.
Oh, that's true. They did mention that, Prestia today, in the coach's corner, they mentioned that Prestia trained really well, and was running at full pace, which sounds promising, perhaps, for the Adelaide game.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so I was happy about that. And the coach's voice sounded really enthusiastic, which, you know, sometimes when they answer, they give the standard answer, but their tone betrays them. He sounded genuinely stoked. So there is a bit of cavalry. Obviously, the Sheds and Prestia cavalry is coming. We are playing short. They are not largely.
Yeah. Totally excited about that.
Yeah. So look, that's, to sum it all up, I still think we're underdogs. I know the betting's about even, but because we're sub full strength and they're not.
Four and a half point underdogs for the last bet I saw.
Oh, fair enough. And I would put us about underdog. I think that's fair.
Yeah. I do worry, like they just bat deep in their midfield, like Menengola, Duncan, Guthrie, all playing well along, you know, alongside Dangerfield and others. And I feel that was a problem in the, Port Adelaide game, is that they just batted a bit deeper than we did in really high-end talent in the midfield. So, yeah. Look, I think...
And not to provoke, you know, or...
Nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not to provoke, except a top four spot. Not to provoke people who hate the AFL ratings, but both are, you know, they've got three mids in the top 50. At the moment, Dangerfield's top 10, but Duncan and Menegola are both in the top 50. Mm. So, and as well as Hawkins, obviously, is the best kick forward in the game at the moment, and Bicklaves is a stat star as well. So, yeah, you've got, as you said, they're back deep, they're talented. They're well coached. They're playing good footy. So it'll be a fascinating game, and it'll be great to watch. Mm. And you know, the season rolls on. It continues to be highly entertaining,
and it'll be absolutely awesome if we beat them.
Oh, they are now. This will change over time when Essendon and Carlton get competitive again. But up with Collingwood now, they're our main rivals. Like they're the team I really... The modern team, if you have to freeze it in 2020 and play this season over and over again, I would say them and Geelong are my 1-2 most hated teams.
Yeah, look, they still... You know, the 10-game win streaks we have against both Essendon and Carlton can be warm at night. But, yeah, the Geelong finals are the most emotionally satisfying and... Yeah. I feel like we say it every week, but it feels like it's true every week. We are up to our eyeballs in season 2020, and this is going to be another exciting step on the way.
Looking forward to it.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time. This time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! What on the Tigers! Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down their marks!
Oh, she is. He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst. Big arm takes the mark, it was all too much for Leon. Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year. Make it 5 out of
6. The skipper goes and goes and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh? Pickett lines up.
There are alarm bells going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy. Started with him.
Yep.
Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is the play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. At champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals, you can make the case for being best on ground.
Fight and win for we're from Tigerland. We never weep until the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, we're strong and we're bold, for we're from Tiger. Yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
And I think they were a better team last year than they are now.